Good morning, everyone. Happy Monday morning to you. Today is June the 1st, 2020. Hope you're having a good Monday morning. You know, probably one of the most popular songs, gospel songs, is a song entitled Precious Memories. Precious Memories, How They Linger. Well, you know, we are going to have memories that not only last a lifetime, but we're going to have memories that last for eternity. Welcome aboard, Rob Pugh. Good morning. Top of the morning to you. Now, the memories that bring sorrow and sadness will not be with us in eternity, because we are told that all tears will be wiped away from our eyes. But the memories that we have in this life that are precious to us, I believe will last for eternity. Welcome aboard, Troy Sharborough. Good to see you this morning. Glad you could join the Breakfast Club. God is so faithful to grant unto us His peace, His tranquility, His joy. And I believe that we will have these memories, these precious memories that we've had with our families, with our friends, that were so special to us. I believe that will last for eternity, especially those memories that God has revealed Himself to us in such a precious way. We have those memories today, don't we? When I was 37 years old, I was out in my shop. At that time I had a small company and was developing some properties, and I was out in my shop and I'd had a lot on my mind, and there was a lot of stressful things going on, and I didn't fully understand the gospel at 37. I'd been brought up in a doctrine of works, but I had been given a book by a fella entitled The Sovereignty of God by Arthur W. Pink. And I'd been reading through this book, and it was contrary to everything that I had been taught regarding the gospel. And of course, the Holy Spirit used that book, and I began to study through the Bible. And I was out in the shop, and I had my Bible, and of course, the Holy Spirit was revealing Himself to me in a very special way at that time. And I remember the questions that were going through my mind. And that scripture, John 6:37, began to resonate with me in a way that I had really never studied the sixth chapter of John until this time in my life, when I began to be very interested in the realities that God is sovereign over all things. And I was sitting there in my shop that afternoon, and I just remember so clearly the thought coming to my mind regarding this scripture, where it says, "All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out." Now, you would think that the second part of the verse is what would latch on to me, but that wasn't it. It was the first part. Good morning, Richard White Yaw. Good to have you with us this morning. I read that again. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me. Wow. And so the question that came into my mind is, Larry, have you been given to Jesus Christ by the Father? Have you been given to Jesus Christ by the Father? And a resounding yes came into my spirit, because as I began to read the last part of the verse, which says that him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out, I knew in my heart and my soul that God had caused me to flee to the cross of Christ, that he had shown me that I was a sinner in need of a Savior. There was no hope apart from Jesus Christ. What a wonderful memory that was. There were other memories that were so dear to me. And it may seem a little strange to people, but one of the other phenomenal memories was John 10. You know, when he says that, verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. And he says that my sheep know my voice. You know, to him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice. And he calleth his own sheep by name and leadeth them out. That was a tremendous thing to read. And then also, what I call the golden chain of salvation was a tremendous memory. The first time I was introduced to the golden chain of salvation, what a beautiful, beautiful thing. And I wonder sometimes why we're not, that is not shared to us more often. You know, Romans 8, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate. And I remember when I read that, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate. That word predestinate. To predetermine beforehand that I would be a recipient of grace, of his salvation. To predetermine beforehand. And moreover, whom he did predestinate, he also called. Remember Samuel? How he kept hearing the voice of God, and he kept thinking it was, he kept going to, and finally he was told, go back and say, here I am, Lord. Samuel was effectually called, and whom he called, them he also justified. Justification is a tremendous memory. Do you remember the first time when you knew that your sins had been forgiven and that God would no longer hold your sins against you? Welcome aboard, Brian Angandi. Glad to have you with us this morning. And anyone else that's joined us that I can't see your name on the screen, we're glad you joined us. You know who you are. Justification is a tremendous, tremendous thing, is it not? To know that God's perfect sacrifice has covered all of our sins. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. To think that one of these days we are going to have glorified bodies. And all of the sin and sorrow and trials that we've gone through down here are no longer going to be present in the New Jerusalem. So that's why I've entitled this little devotional this morning, memories that last for eternity. We're not going to remember the bad things. We're not going to remember those things that we sorrow over and shed tears over. And we're not going to have pain anymore, physical pain. But we are going to remember when God revealed himself to us in such a special way while we were down here on this earth. You know, another thing that had a tremendous impact on me, and people don't fully understand it when I explain this to them, is probably one of the most controversial chapters in the Bible, but it brings tremendous comfort to me. In Romans chapter 9, for the children being not yet born, neither having done any good or evil, that the purpose of God according to election might stand, not of works, but of him that calleth. So then it is not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but of God that showeth mercy. All my life, I had been trying to gain God's favor by doing all of these things, thinking I was doing God a service. And the doctrine of election was presented to me. You know, it's amazing to me. Here I was, 37 years old, brought up in a very free will church, and how all those years they deceptively withheld the doctrine of election from me. All the way through Christian, supposed Christian elementary and Christian high schools, and they never talked about these great doctrines of predestination and election. And the first time they were presented to me, how at first it went against everything within me. It was amazing. But God, through his Holy Spirit, began to reveal the truth of these great doctrines to me. Other memories that will go with us into eternity is when the times when the precious Holy Spirit, while we walked down here in this veil of tears, how he led and how he guided us, and how he comforted us in times of great distress. What a wonderful thing. What a wonderful memory. I remember, many of you know the story, my story, of how that during these times that I was going through, how that I was working at that time, during that time period, I was working for the state of Missouri, and I was overseeing 80 foster homes, and I was told that I would have to start licensing homosexuals as foster parents. And I remember how, when I heard that, when I was in my supervisor's office and she told me I would have to do this, I realized that my career was probably over. And the precious Holy Spirit gave me assurance that he would take care of me and my family. I didn't know how, but the sweet Holy Spirit, the Comforter, helped me answer my supervisor and told her that, you know, I said, I can't do that. My conscience will not allow me to do that. And how she became so enraged. I wrote a little book about it. It's called The Phillips Versus the State of Missouri. And how that Jay Sekulow of the American Center for Law and Justice encouraged me to bring a lawsuit against the state of Missouri. I had never sued anyone in my life. And it was a difficult time. It was a 5-year court battle. But God won the victory for us for wrongful termination based upon my religious beliefs. Looking back, I wonder how I ever became so involved in such a corrupt system. But now I realize that God was sovereign over the whole thing. It had absolutely nothing to do with Larry Phillips. It had to do with the sovereign hand of God. And God so took care of us during those 5 years. Oh, I had to do many different kinds of jobs. A lot of people didn't want to hire someone that had a lawsuit against the Attorney General of the state of Missouri, who would end up being the governor of the state. But, you know, and then many of you know that I have one son who, he's now, I believe he's 44 now, 44 years old. He was born in 1976. And how that he was diagnosed with a brain degenerative disease at 17, our only child, and how that was the most traumatic experience that Rosette and myself have ever gone through. To sit in a doctor's office and tell the doctor that the prognosis was not good at all for our son. And he encouraged us to put our son in an institution and go about and live our lives as best we could. And how my wife looked at me and she said, "I think this meeting is over. We'll take care of Mark." And Mark has been with us the last, well, that was, I guess he was about 17 when that diagnosis came down. And I'm not saying it's been easy, it is not. But we love Mark in such an unusual way because of what we've been through with Mark. It hasn't been easy, but God has sustained Mark. Mark has some very difficult days, but you know, God is faithful. God is faithful. And I believe that when Rosette and Mark and I get to heaven, we will have a very special relationship, just like we have here. God has a way of solidifying our relationships through pain sometimes and suffering. Scripture tells us that he learned obedience through his sufferings. He learned obedience through his sufferings. We're told that if we're in Christ Jesus, we will suffer persecution. Another memory that I had, well, I could share so many, and it circulates around the gospel. I listened to a message one time by a gentleman that gave a message on the substitutionary atonement of Jesus Christ, and it blew me away. Again, it brought so much healing. And as he began to quote that wonderful 53rd chapter of Isaiah, which hardly a day goes by when I don't quote it, he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. By his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned every one to his own way. The Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. I remember that was such a tremendous, powerful message on substitutionary atonement. How Jesus Christ became my substitute. How he paid the ransom for me on the cruel and rugged cross of Calvary. How his righteousness, his perfect righteousness, the perfect sacrifice of the Lamb of God who was slain from the foundation of the world, how God looks at his Son and counts Larry Phillips righteous. Wow. Through the precious blood of Christ, he counts me righteous. Not because of anything in this creature, but because of the perfect sacrifice of Jesus Christ. That memory is going to last for eternity. It's more than a memory, it's reality. And throughout the ceaseless ages of eternity, we are going to sing, "Worthy is the Lamb that was slain," to receive blessings and honor and power and wisdom and might. He is the one that was worthy to open the seals. Well, this morning, that's what's on my mind. I'm looking forward to the New Jerusalem coming down out of God, out of heaven. I want to conclude today with this little poem that God gave me. It's called God's Works. God's works are marvelous and great to think upon. His mercy and his grace we can rely. Our eternal future is better than any past memory. The communion and fellowship with him in the great by and by. If our fellowship is sweet now, even though clouded by a world of sin, just think how much more precious it will be with him then. Not having this battle between the spirit and the flesh and the devil, but in the New Jerusalem, never again having to contend with evil. And this is all made certain by God's mighty work of redemption, granting us forgiveness and giving us admission into the greatest paradise we could ever imagine. He says he's preparing for us a place in heaven. His preparations are perfect and without any taints of sin. Thinking on God's works from beginning to end is a marvelous exercise for those who are born again. Well, may the good Lord be with you today in a special way is my prayer. My thoughts and prayers are with each one of you. May you have a blessed week. And I covet your prayers for me and my family as well. May the good Lord be with you this day. God bless.